Dr. Jemison. Second Baptist. There's not a whole lot that I know. A lot of things I have a sprinkling of understanding about, but not a whole lot that I know. This I know. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, no, no. I'm not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. I have to confess with you that I had a problem figuring out what I was going to preach here. You'll notice, those of you who are paying attention, that the bulletin says the same thing that I preached at 8 o'clock. And since I see some of you here that were at 8 o'clock, I went through a little conversation with the Lord about this. This is a pastor's appreciation. And I can tell that a whole lot of folk, they don't understand why preachers preach. I really can't. I can tell by the way they sit. I can tell by watching them wake up and say amen before they find out what's going on. I can tell by the way they sing about loving God while they roll eyes at each other. I'm not trying to be messy. I just want to stir up a couple folks' mind. Not all y'all. Don't mean no harm. Not everybody. Just a few of you. About why preachers preach. And this just came to me while I was sitting over there. And when I started out, I wanted to be a great preacher. And I decided, and as I got one foot in the grave, another on the banana peel, today is my 73rd birthday. I have come to the conclusion that since I'm getting ready to face God face to face, it would be better to preach a great gospel than be a great preacher. Come on. Amen. So I want you to come and go with me down memory lane just for a few minutes as I try to help. I want some of you to understand, it really ain't about the check. It really is not about celebrity status. It's really not about trying to get along with trustees, because a whole lot of trustees can't be trusted. And it's not really about bowing to a deacon board, because many of them need a board on them. I don't mean any harm, but I want you to understand. Before I tell you what it is about, you need to understand what it's not about. Okay? Because I've come to the conclusion, I understand that the average person sitting in here, look around you. Okay, you not average, but the average person sitting around you, when they leave here, they're going to go home and they will have fried preacher, stewed deacon, and they will use the choir for a tossed salad and won't understand anything that's been said here this morning. So what do you talk about, Thomas? What do you talk about? Do you think of that passage in Ephesians where God said he gave gifts to the church? Pastors and teachers, Christ's gift to the church. Not to the congregation, to the church. Big difference between the church and the congregation. Church is ecclesia, congregants, everybody that come in between the walls. But the ecclesia is a unique, special group of people chosen by God before the foundation of the world that he picks out of Satan's kingdom to spend eternity with him. And since they're not ready for heaven, he gives pastor teachers to the picked out chosen ones to bring them. I'm preaching already. If y'all waiting on me to get started. To bring them to maturity that they can pass muster on Judgment Day. So open your Bibles. 2 Corinthians. I know you brought a Bible because you came to church. Amen. And since you know man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you didn't even use that application on your telephone as a substitute for God's written word, did you? And I know you're not in that group that spends $65, $85, $100 for a Bible and don't open it except when the preacher say, turn to. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you ready? Listen to what Paul says here, beginning at 17. It's a familiar verse. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath what? Reconciled. I can't hear you. Reconciled. God hath what? Reconciled us. Ain't talking about the congregants. Talking about the church. God has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of y'all. I'm sick of y'all talking about reconciliation, reconciling, reconciliation. That's all that boy keep talking about. Five times. For he hath made him We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is about reconciling men and women to God. The gospel is God's good news. It's God's good news about something that's going on in his head that you and I would never know unless he cared enough about us to have it recorded in what we call the scriptures. We wouldn't know what God was thinking. But God, who created all things, one thought of his, in its pure sense, would blow our little pea-picking minds. But he has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. And he has recorded it in his word. And that's why I stopped by to tell you, on my way to glory, don't think the devil has a campaign out to get you to sin. You know, no. Let me tell you where the devil, he doesn't major in trying to stop you from lying. He knows that comes natural. He knows he doesn't major in trying to stop you from stealing or get you to steal. Satan knows that he doesn't have to work in that area. All right? All he got to do is put you in the right environment at the right time and make it to your advantage. Guess what? If she gives you $10 too much at the cash register, you're going to say, thank you, Jesus. Put it in your pocket. Somebody say amen, preacher. But where Satan majors, and you be the one to let me know whether he's run a major campaign here. Where Satan majors is to keep you off your knees and keep you from opening the word of God and finding out what God's plan for you is. Now you tell me, has he run a good campaign? I can't hear you. Does Satan make you spend more time asking God for what you want rather than thanking him and praising him for saving you from yourself? Scripture says that, listen, God was in Christ. Now, listen, he didn't, listen to what Paul is saying here, because I'm arguing this off the top of my head. Listen what Paul is saying. He says, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Wait a minute. I know Jesus died on Calvary for my sins, and if I don't believe in him and trust in him, I'm going to die, go to hell, and bust it wide open. I heard that. I've heard the preacher say over and over again that he raised him from the dead. But you know what Paul says here? Watch this. That when Christ died on Calvary, God was doing something. He was reconciling. That's a broken relationship, y'all. He was bringing people who were separated from him by their sin, their weaknesses, and their shortcomings. He was bringing those people back to himself. I'm trying to get you to quit sitting down on Sunday and stand on your feet and say amen. If you believe God has acted for you on his own behalf, according to his own will and purpose, quit strutting like a peacock when you come through the door. Quit acting like you're too sophisticated to say amen. If you believe, you're on your way to hell, except for what Jesus did on Calvary. You ought to thank God for... I mean, you ought to tell somebody, I didn't come to Jesus on my own. I was a runaway child, running wild, trying to get away from God. Said I wasn't going to nobody else's church. But God, in his mercy, said I got to save this fool in spite of himself. Slowly but surely begin to pull. Anybody know what it is to run from God? Listen, listen. I'm trying to help somebody. You want to know why preachers preach? Because we've been commended and commanded, commissioned by God to tell a bunch of folk who sit and look at their watches on Sunday waiting on you to shut up and sit down. God talking about go tell them. If they hear you, tell them. If they don't hear you, tell them. If they believe it, tell them. If they don't believe it, tell them. Oh, Lord, 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 you don't know my folk. You just don't know them. Listen, if they don't like me, they will get mean. They'll close up their pocketbooks. They'll roll their eyes. And you want me to go and tell them that you acted in Christ to bring them back to yourself? They actually believe they came to you by walking down the aisle shaking the preacher's hand. They actually believe they came to you because they made up their minds one day to stop drinking, gambling, smoking, and chewing so much. They actually believe that they came to you by their own good works. They don't know that you was working in Christ to pull them back to yourself. They don't know. Lord, 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 they don't know, they don't know, they don't know, they don't know. I can tell that they don't know, Lord, because guess what? They spend more time in the mirror getting ready to go to church. They spend more time in the mirror getting ready to go to church than they do getting their souls ready to stand before you. Lord, I seen them, I seen them, I seen them. I don't pass them no more, but I seen them, Lord. I seen them strut into the sanctuary and turn it into an auditorium and act like they're going to sit in a pew and judge what's going on in the pulpit and in the choir stand. They don't come to worship. They come to be critics at an entertainment center. I don't mean no harm. I don't mean no harm, and I'm not talking to the congregants. I'm talking to born-again believers that quit letting cold fish put your fire out. How do you expect people who trust in themselves and not in the saving grace of God, to stand up on amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How do you expect folk who pat themselves on the back to talk about I've been redeemed, bought with a price? Jesus done saved me. If anybody asks you who I am, tell them I went to Bishop. Nah, don't you be no fool. You better tell them I've been redeemed. Jesus died on Calvary and he shed his blood and purchased me out of the marketplace of sin. I've been redeemed. I'm on my way. And guess what? I don't deserve it. Oh, sorry. I don't deserve it. But I've been reconciled. Life's broken relationship. And guess what, y'all? You know about broken relationships. People with broke relationships know they build civilizations without talking with God. They live better than they used to live, but they don't have no peace. They got cell phones and internet, but there's a storm on the inside. They got wall-to-wall carpets and long cars, skyscrapers, and running water, but they can't sleep good at night. They build civilizations, don't talk to God. Got houses, but they're not homes. They got marriages, but not relationships. Surrounded by crowds and still lonely. Got tables full of food and nobody to share it with. Talking about saving whales and hating each other, building bombs and starving children, 21st century barbarians, mentally ill, spiritually anemic, and morally bankrupt. Oh my Lord. And we got the nerve to call ourselves civilized. Sin has separated us from God. Separated us from God and from ourselves. Sin has come and left us in the dark. It's dark in the White House, dark in the State House, dark in the millionaire's mansion, dark in the poor man's project. It's dark in the white man's kitchen and dark in the black man's bedroom. Sin has left us in the dark. You say, oh, yeah, I know you're talking about sin. Talk about sin, Rem. Talk about sin. Talk about them folk out there on them drugs. Talk about them folk out there on the street corner. No, I'm going to talk about sin as God defines it in his word. Sin is you being so into you that you think you all that and a bag of chips. That sin as God defines it. It's self-centeredness when your life is about you, me, myself, and mine. May be dark. I'll tell you why we preach. God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You go tell them folk that I love them so much that I want to save them from this. Lord, they don't want to hear all that. They want to go watch the game. You go tell them folk. That one drop of Christ's blood will wipe their record clean. so clean that a holy and righteous God cannot find anything on your personal record to condemn you. And you gonna sit there like a peacock and not get excited? That God, you know that little lie you told? Not the one that got you in trouble, the one that they don't know about. You know, that little lie you told, do you not understand that the word of God, I'm trying to get you to read it. The word of God says that God has removed your sins from you as far as the east is from the west. Do you not realize you can go from north to south and reach your destination? But if you start going from the east, walking to the west, you will walk and walk and walk. God says he has removed your transgression so far as the east is from the west. You ain't shouting yet. Father, why, James? I don't understand why we preach, man. Why we preach? They don't even get excited about the word. They don't even love to hear the name of. Oh, what you say? Man, that's a bad word. The name of who? Oh, Jesus. I love to call his name. I want you to know that it may be dark, but I know somebody that can turn the light on. I heard that he's the light of the world. I know somebody that can fix the broken relationship because he's the word become flesh. And in him there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female. You know, let me tell you something about them old folk. I used to talk about old folk. I remember when I thought 50 was old until I hit 50. And I told her, baby, you know what? There ain't no more old folk. That's us. I tell you, life is a drama, y'all. Okay? And we got broken relationships that we're suffering from, okay? But listen, Lid, you better learn. It's a two-act drama. Old Testament, New Testament, with a 400-year intermission in between it. God talks about him sending a Savior to rescue you from yourself, and then the New Testament talks about he done come. Oh, yeah, he here. His name is, I got it twice. Somebody gonna help me here. His name, y'all do go to Sunday school. His name is what?
Jesus.
Mary's? My rock? In a weary land. You know, let me tell y'all why I'm at Second Baptist, okay? I went to a citywide revival, and I was looking for a church home after just arriving in San Antonio, and I heard this preacher as he was closing. He got to talking about Jesus. And then he said, he nappy head, thick lip, dark complected. And I said, I gonna find that there church. It was just like it is now. He didn't get a whole bunch of amens, okay? And he didn't press the point because I got the feeling he knew he wasn't going to get a bunch of amens. But you got to remember, I walked the streets of Galilee. I preached coming across the Sea of Galilee. I've been in the upper room. I walked down in the caves. I know and have traveled up and down that Nile. God has been good to me. I walked into the caves at Benin and seen the sisters that I grew up with painted on the Egyptian caves 3,500 years ago. And you gonna tell me that Jesus is white? Come on, no. No. If I had read it in a book, that's one thing. But how they say that, man? I seen it with my own self. So when I go up to Nazareth and I find out that he was born in Bethlehem but raised in the ghetto of Nazareth, you ain't never seen Nazareth. Look, y'all, Nazareth, I know Nazareth because you know how you get to Nazareth? You go up the hill. It's one way in and one way out. And that's why Matthew says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is where all the crooks hung out. It was the ghetto. It had one way. You say, why one way in and one out? You can see the po-po if you stand up on the hill. I'm listening. They talk about Mary. Talk about Mary had a baby. Yeah, guess what? But Mary said that baby came from the Holy Ghost. If you know the sisters in the neighborhood, they didn't let her get away with that. And poor Joseph looked like the world's biggest fool, talking about that's the Holy Ghost's baby. She was conceived. And the brother said, See, we don't bring flesh and blood to God's holy word. We don't read it like they people. We read it like they super saints. God ain't using super saints. He wants you to know he uses ordinary people just like you. Come on and know why God chooses sinners. When God gets ready to choose folk, he don't go to Saks Fifth Avenue. He goes to the junkyard. So you be careful when you go around talking about you a Christian and a child of God, because you just confessed. Okay, that you didn't spend some time at the wrong place, wrong address, had the wrong thoughts, and every once in a while there's stuff that go through your head that if the folk at church knew what you was thinking, you couldn't preach, you couldn't sing, you could. He uses junk. And he then rescues it, picks it up, washes it in the blood of his son. And then he messes around and puts a new spirit on the inside of him. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to see if I can get about five folk to get up on their feet and start acting like they know what I'm talking about. He puts a new spirit in them and they start to treat folk right that they don't like. They start to love folk that they know stabbing them in the back. They start to go out of their way when they don't want to do it. And they start, Satan comes up on their shoulder and makes them feel phony because they're doing what the Lord told them to do, but they know they ain't feeling it. Baby, you ain't gotta feel it. I don't care what Tina said. Love ain't no secondhand emotion. She want to know what love got to do with it. Everything. It was love that lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. I was very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard. Did he hear your cry? He heard my despairing cry from the water, lifted me. Now safe am I. I'm on my way somewhere. I've been born again. I've been redeemed. I may be hobbling, but I'm on my way. I may be limping, but I'm on my way. I say, come on and go with me to my Father's house. There's plenty good room. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach. And I'm going to tell it everywhere I go. I'm going to tell dying men that Jesus died. Y'all don't hear me? I'm going to tell it on my job. I suggest you tell it at the grocery store. If you're riding in a cab, tell the taxi driver. If you're paying the mechanic too much to fix your car, make sure you tell him that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Tell it. Oh, I wish I could hoop. If I could hoop, I'd say, tell it in the morning. Tell it in the evening. Tell him that God's in love with him. You don't have to go to hell. And God's not holding your history against you. Just humble yourself and throw yourself at the foot of the cross. There's room. There's room. There's room at the cross for you. Come on. Let's make a deal. You know, your hope is in being Mary Jane. I got news for you. If you live your life on Facebook, got news for you. The days of your lives are dreary. You young and restless. And your ambitions are dramatized by empire. And you on your way to General Hospital, baby. I got news for you. I'm through, y'all. I'm through. I don't want to. My mama always told me, boy, stand up, speak up, and shut up. She's laying on her deathbed now, and I'm going to do her good. I'm going to stand up, speak up, and shut up. 90 years old. But you know what? They said I wasn't going to be nothing, and she wasn't either. Y'all don't hear me. I ain't nothing. I tell any young girl, don't you let them folk at church make you think that God's not using you. Don't you let people walk around with their head in the air and make you think that you low down because you got caught doing what they were good at avoiding get caught at. No. You focus in on being a first class you. And you don't have to be a second class nobody. Let God have his way with you. Let him mold you. And if he have to break you directly, it's the hands of love that'll pick up the pieces. Yeah. And when he get through with you, you will not be what your mama wants you to be, nor your daddy, nor the preacher, nor the deacon. When God gets through with you, you'll be what he wants you to be. Because when your mama and daddy got together, I don't mean no harm, but got news for you. They wasn't thinking about you. It's called sex, baby. They wasn't trying to make you. They, God leaned over the balcony of heaven and brought you into existence. God used that self-centered experience to bring you into, and you owe it all to him. To God be the glory. Your daddy a drunk, to God be the glory. He uses everything. You don't hear me? You grow up broke and hungry, that's okay. You got clothes on your feet. Back now, you got shoes on your feet. And I bet you when you leave here, you're going to eat. To God be the glory. Don't act like no Donald Trump fool. To God be the glory. I owe it all to him. And you can stand in the pulpit and preach. And folks will lie to you and say, "Ooh, Rev, you really preach. You really help me." You know, Satan says, "See, that's good for your ego." And that sets you up for God to have to break you down the next day, because he can't use peacocks. He's got to keep you humble so that men and women can get a drink of the wine that he crushes out of you. Come on, church. Make the life of a preacher that's been here 24 years, at least when he start talking about Jesus, get up on your feet. Wave your hand. Act like you know the man. That he bought you. He saved you. Look beyond your faults. And don't make the man sweat a suit out. And you ain't gonna even wave your hand. That's too much sophistication, baby. That's too much intimidation. Why are you gonna jump up and down for a three-point shot and a doggone touchdown, and you can't stand up and say, "Thank God"?
And all the people of God said, "Amen." After I'd gotten a good whooping, my grandmother used to say, "Now thank me for the whooping." Thank you for the whooping. How we praise God for the man of God who stood before us and declared the word of God. If you do not have a church home and you're living in our city, the preacher's already said that there's room at the cross for you. We invite you to come. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If you're looking